arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Matthew 28, early on Sunday morning. This is why there's sunrise services. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to see the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake because an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning. His clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him. They fell into a dead faint. They dropped like dead men, is what the word says. Then the angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has been raised from the dead, just as he said. What happened? Come and see." Here's the "come and see." Come and see. Come on, come in the tomb. Don't need to hold your nose. Ooh, it's going to be really bad in here. Come on, Mary, is this going to be bad? No, it's not going to be bad. There's no one dead in here. Come and see where his body was lying. There is no other religion whose founder, burial, cannot be found. Only ours. Because death couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. If you were in Jerusalem today and you went over to the Garden Tomb, which we don't know if that's the actual place, doesn't matter, it was a place like that. The rolling stone and all is there. It's a garden just like, very much like this definitely would have been. Very close to the city. But when you walk in and you walk out and you see the stones, the way the crypts were done, inside cut out of the stone is limestone, so it was very soft. They could chisel it out. There's a simple sign that hangs that says, "He is not here. He is risen." So we could go there on a tour and we could all stoop and go into the tomb and we could look at that spot and we could read that sign. And the enemy would say, "Of course he's not here because it's been 2,000 years. But I want you to recognize something. Those who were there didn't need a sign. The sign was that there was an angel sitting and an angel speaking that was shining like lightning. What do you mean a sign? They had a billboard. They had an in-your-face, undeniable, absolute encounter with the glory of God in the cemetery. And they didn't need a sign because they realized this is what's happened. Come and see. Now go quickly and tell his disciples." He has been raised from the dead. And he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember, I've told you. And the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened. You talk about having something to tell your neighbors. This was something to tell their neighbors, for sure. They were very frightened, but they were also filled with joy, and they rushed to find the disciples. All right? Mark chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, we have another account of the resurrection. It's very, again, you look at verse 2, very early on Sunday morning. Here's Mary Magdalene's, Salome, Mary the mother of James. They had purchased burial spices, so they were going to go and add to the burial spices. On the way, they're discussing how's all this going to work and who's going to roll the stone away. But when they arrived, they looked and saw that the stone, a very large one, had already been rolled aside. So they entered the tomb, and there on the right side sat a young man clothed in a white robe, and the women were startled, but the angel said, "Do not be so surprised. He isn't here. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified, but he isn't here. He has been raised from the dead." This is the resurrection. This is Christianity. This is our faith. It's important because since Jesus lives, we too shall live. He's been raised from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Here, you know, the counts, that's why they call them synoptics. They're by different of the writers, but their personal experience. They'll include different details. Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died. The women, of course, fled. And the account will move forward. Now let's go to Luke's gospel. See, we're going right through these this morning. Just take us a couple minutes. Luke chapter 24. In Luke 24... we see the account given to us again. And here again, very early in the morning, so all this is happening early in the morning. The women came to the tomb, taking the spices. They found the stone had been rolled aside. They went in, but they couldn't find the body. See, they're coming at different times. There's different incidents that's happening with different ones as they have arrived. They share different parts of the story, but they were puzzling, trying to figure out what happened. Now suddenly two men appear to them. So wait a minute, Pastor. I thought you just read there was one sitting and then there's one standing and there was... Yeah. I don't know how many angels were actually there. I'm sure there had been plenty of demons there. But right now, the demon show is over. And God has taken the stage. And so now there's two, and they're clothed in dazzling robes. This could again refer to the brilliant light, the glory that's there. Women are terrified. And then this question again, why are you looking in a tomb? Why are you searching for the living among the dead? Looking for someone who is alive. He isn't here. He's risen. And then there's the challenge. Don't you remember what he told you in Galilee? Remember they were in Galilee, and in Galilee Jesus asked the question, "Who do men say that I am?" Do you remember that? They were at Caesarea. And Caesarea was a place, one of the sources of the Jordan River comes out of that cave mouth, and all the crevices in the rock, all these different gods are placed up there, and people come from all over the known world, because there's hot springs and there's also the Jordan. They come there for health reasons. It was sort of like a spa area. But people would bring their gods and they would worship their gods and they would do it there. And Jesus said, "Well, who do men say that I am?" And Of course, the disciples say, well, some say you're a prophet, some say you're, you know, Elijah. That people say different things. But then Jesus got personal and said, but who do you say that I am? And then you remember Peter was the one, really, he gets all the kudos because Peter actually hears from God. He receives something by the Holy Spirit. He said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, Peter. But then just a few moments later, Jesus says, I'm going to go, I'm going to die, they're going to put me to death, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be in the tomb, but then I'm going to rise again. In 3 days, I'm going to rise. And Jesus said, don't you remember what I told you back then? I told you this was going to happen, but you see, it wasn't natural. Let me remind you of this right here. What God wants to do in your life, if you've never fully surrendered your life to God, is something that's supernatural, not natural. And you cannot understand it until you've tasted and seen. And it's not like the swimming pool, you know, where you go, I wonder if it's too cold. Get in. I did that a few times. I thought, that's silly. You just jump in. That's what you do. Do the same thing off the bridge. You don't go down and, how is this? No, I went up on the bridge, jumped off the bridge. Then once you're in, you're going to deal with what's in there, right? So many people, they put their little toe in church and go, I didn't sense anything. I didn't get any, my fur's not jumping. I don't sense anything unusual. Because God is for real and it's supernatural. And you have to say, I need a God. I need the God. I need a Savior. I need to be forgiven. I'm a sinner. I want all that you have for me. And you got to jump off the bridge. You just have to believe or else not believe. Many people live their whole life playing games, kind of like, well, God, if you're really real, then chase me down. Well, God already has. He did it on the cross. God, if you're real, then convince me. What? The thief's hanging there on the cross next to Jesus. The one thief, what does he say? If you're really God, I think he was sneering a little. If you're really God, why don't you save yourself and save us with you? Why don't you do something miraculous? Give me a break. He just brought Lazarus out of the tomb. He'd been dead for 4 days. There was undeniable proof all over the place that Jesus was not natural. He was supernatural. And so those who recognize, I need a Savior, they followed Him. And they receive life. And this morning, it's the same way. Some will simply say, I need God to help me when I'm in a disaster. But I want a 911 God. And God, I want you to show up when I need you. I want a Santa Claus God. I want a God that's going to give me stuff. I want a God that's going to make it easy for me. I want a God that's going to deliver me from all the things that I don't like. I want a God that's going to answer my every whim and notion. Sorry. God doesn't ask you how He's going to be. He tells you how He is. He says, what? You don't know if I love you? Let me tell you how much I love you. I'm going to die for you so I can give you eternal life. I'm going to send my most valuable part, my son. I'm going to give my son because I love you so much. Well, some choose not to respond, but you're here. You're responding already. The fact you came here this morning, and the fact that you're listening tells me that you are responding. You see, there's this verse of Scripture. You may not know this verse. It's in John chapter 6, verse 43-44. But it says something like this, that no man comes to the Father unless the Father brings them. So you go, well, okay, well, what if he doesn't bring me? He already has, or you wouldn't even be here. I'll tell you right now. Somebody may say, well, you know, I'm not too good of a person. I'm a pretty bad person. And I think I probably went too far. Well, the fact that you're thinking that you went too far means that you've been convicted that you need God, and that means He's calling you. Or you may say, well, I'm a pretty good person. I don't think I need God. Oh, that is a little scary to me. I sort of think people who think they're so good they don't need God, I think they're probably close to the line that starts getting scary. Like Pharaoh, I don't need God. I don't need the God of the Hebrews. I don't need to listen to Him. Who is He that comes against our mighty gods in Egypt? Well, He is God. There are no other gods. There's a lot of substitutes, but there is no other God. And John 4 says that unless the Father draws you, unless the Holy Spirit is inviting you, no one comes to God. In other words, I was so wrong. I grew up in church. I grew up in Christian school. I grew up in a Christian family. But you know what my idea was? When I really need God, I'm going to get right with God. You know who was telling me that? The devil. Because the Word of God tells me I can't come to God whenever I like it. When God is calling, that's when I need to say yes. When do you answer your door? Somebody knocks on it. When God's knocking on your heart and God's saying, look at this, look at that, think about this. I want you to look at your life. I want you to think about eternity. I want to think about what's going on in your life. When you begin to have those thoughts, that is the Holy Spirit that's knocking on the door of your heart. I've been in prisons and I've talked with prisoners who said, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I got stopped. I was going my own way, a million miles an hour, doing my own thing, content to be miserable. You know, I'd get high and then I'd get low. I'd get loaded and then I'd get unloaded. I'd get drunk and then I'd get sick. I would be having the greatest time of my life and then I would be sick and tired of life totally. I would feel like I was in charge and everything is working. And the next day I felt like taking my life, that my life had no value whatsoever. That's the yo-yo of sin. But when God begins to knock, we need to look at the Word again. That's what the Word says, that no one comes to the Father unless the Father draws him. So if God is drawing you, today is the day of salvation. 2023, on the 9th of April, this morning, God is calling through His church, through His Holy Spirit. This morning, God is calling now. And He's saying, I want to redeem you. I want to save you. I want to deliver you. I want to protect you. I want to love you. I want to take care of you. I want to adopt you into my family. My son Jay didn't get to decide whether or not he wanted to be in the McLean family when we adopted him. Kind of one of those things to where he was a little too young to make that decision. But you get to decide whether you want to be in the Father's family. It's your choice. Your choice. All right, so while you're looking in a tomb for someone who is alive, well, they rushed back, tell the disciples and everyone else what had happened. The women who went to the tomb, Mary Magdalene, such forth, and Luke. Let's go to John, because we're almost finished. So John, here we are in John. And John, we're going to go to chapter 20. I love John. John's an awesome book. Well, early Sunday morning. Anybody get the idea something happened early Sunday morning? You know why the church meets on Sunday instead of Saturday, Shabbat? Because Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. That's why. Nothing wrong with worshiping on Shabbat too. Whichever day you worship, make sure that every day is a day of worship. Every day must be. So now we have Peter here. Peter's running to the tomb in verse 3. Yeah, Mary Magdalene, she came to the tomb, verse 1, found the stone had been rolled away. She ran and found Simon Peter, the other disciple, which we know is John, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and I don't know where they put him. And Peter and the other disciple ran to the tomb to see. The other disciple outran Peter and got there first. He stooped, looked in, saw the linen cloth lying there. But he didn't go in. That was enough for him. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying to the side. Then the other disciple also went in. He saw and believed. Now they both believe. For until then, look at this, until then they hadn't realized that the Scripture said he would rise from the dead. They had been told that, but they didn't get it. So when you say, preacher, why are you preaching the same message again? Because a lot of times we don't get it the first time. Jesus gave the same message for 3.5 years. And his disciples didn't get it. So you go, well, you know, I don't see it quite like you do. Yeah, well, maybe both of us aren't seeing it quite right. But God will work on that. Mary was standing outside the tomb. She's crying. As she wept, she stooped, looked in. She saw 2 white-robed angels. The 2 have shown up again. How about that? Now there's one sitting at the head and one at the foot, the place where Jesus' body had been lying. Why are you crying? The angels ask her. Because they've taken away my Lord. She's crying. And I don't know where they put him. She glanced over her shoulder, saw someone standing behind her. Don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. He's standing, listening to Mary cry. But not too long, just for a little bit. It was Jesus. She didn't recognize him. Why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? She thought it was the gardener. Sir, she said. You can just imagine, she said this with a lot of passion. If you've taken him away, tell me where you put him and I will go and get him. And Jesus says, Mary. However he said Mary. However he said that, she knew that that was Jesus. She had heard that many times before. She turned toward him, exclaimed, Teacher, don't cling to me, Jesus said, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers. Tell him that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, my God. Don't you like that? This is resurrection. My God, my Father, your Father. Mary Magdalene found the disciples, told them, I have seen the Lord. Come and see. Once you've seen, then you can say, I've seen the Lord. That evening, on the first day of the week, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors. They've seen the Lord, but they're still scared because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus is standing there among them. What's my glorified body going to be like? I don't think walls are going to slow you down. That's all I know. Jesus just showed up. That's kind of cool. Star Trek, I think they wrote their script right out of the Word of God. They figured out how this is going to work, you know. Peace be with you, not the force. Peace be with you, he said as he spoke. He held out his hands for them to see and he showed them his side. They were filled with joy when they saw their Lord. He spoke to them again. Peace be with you. Fear not. Peace be with you. Right? As the Father has sent me, here's the commission, so send I you. He breathed on them. Well, how did he do that? You know, I can't explain it. I don't know. How did Jesus blow on them? I don't know. All I know is that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. They, well, I've been seeking the Holy Spirit and I haven't really got the full manifestation yet. Well, even they had to wait 10 days to Pentecost before they received. Just saying. Jesus prayed for them. It's not the person praying for you that's giving you the Holy Spirit anyway. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the work of God. God is pouring that out. You don't need to find somebody else. You just need to keep going to the source and volunteer to be a riverbed. Because the Holy Spirit is looking for a riverbed to flow through. So if you can be a riverbed, if you can be a channel, if you can be a vessel for God to come into and flow through, then you can be a possessor of the glory of God. And this is the Father's will. If you forgive anyone's sins, they're forgiven. That's a level of authority that we know so little of. And then one of the disciples. I won't ask if there's any Thomases in the audience. I mean, it's not enough you just show up in rooms and you do stuff like this. Come on, I want to... Hey, I saw you on the cross. I know what I saw with my eyes. I was there. I saw them arrest you. I saw them. I know you were beaten. I saw the blood. I saw the thorns. I saw the sword go in the side. I saw the water flowing out in the blood. I saw the hands with nails through them. I have to see or I will never believe. Don't be afraid to ask someone if they haven't yet believed. Are you willing to ask God to show you who He is? God knows how to show us who He is. The woman at the well, she came to draw water, and Jesus showed her who He was. Your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren, I pray that God reveal yourself in an undeniable, confirming, affirming manner. That's what God did to me. I was 15, and God came and knocked on my door, and it was my day. And on that day, I said, yes. My prayer was not very theological. I said, God, I'm going to give you a shot at my life. If it works, you got me. That was a couple years ago. I'm not quite 15 anymore. I'll tell you this, it's more than work. God has more than work. What I could have expected and asked for, God has been so much more in my life than I could have ever even prayed or dreamed or asked for.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Nothing is impossible. When you trust